guest today is Kevin Hazard. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. I'm enjoying Codestock.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's a great show.
This is the first time I've been here in about 3 years.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I think we could talk about my technology life outside of technology.
But. Yeah, you're doing a lot of stuff. You're a politician now, right?
Well, it's school board, so it's not really a politician. We like to think that politics aren't part of school systems, but
yeah,
they kind of are.
I was making fun. What motivated you to run for school board?
Well, you know, the last time we spoke at Med Expo several years ago, we talked about teaching kids technology. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, going with that theme, I got a little upset that we weren't really creating technology programs in schools, so I decided to run for office in 2011.
All right. And you're in Virginia somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Central Virginia. And didn't think I had a snowball's chance of winning, and I won.
But lo and behold, there you are.
And here I am. So serving on the school board, serving on various committees at the county and state level, working on legislative reform. And I'm also the chairman of the governor's school for
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So you saw problems not only in your local community but statewide. That I won't say problems, maybe things that we could be doing better. What really motivated you?
I think really most of the problems are at the state and federal level, but lack of focus on technology in schools. And it's not just technology. I mean, teaching kids to program is important, but, you know, teaching mathematics and logic and just logical thought, the application of logical thought, which if you think about it, that's really what we do as developers. We just take problems and we break them down logically and then create solutions with technology. So technology is sort of a means to an end.
Okay, so there was no question that every grade that I went through and every grade my kids went through, they had math as part of the curriculum.
Sure.
But you're saying it falls short somehow.
Yeah, well, of course you've got traditional geometry and algebra and things like that, but there's really not a huge focus on logic.
Okay.
Logical thought and the application of logical outcomes for inputs.
All right.
Which, when you think about what we do for a living, it's rationalizing through problems and figuring out what makes sense and what does not. And of course, there are mathematical constructs in there, but it's not algebra or geometry. Really, it's logic.
Okay. And so how are you addressing that? You're going to have a special logic class or work logic into the geometry class or what?
So in public education, we tend to call it forensics.
Really?
So there's forensics, and so we have a forensics team that we've started. Hmm. We've gotten funding from some public and private sources, and we're making really good strides in, you know, getting our forensics team to compete at local and state level.
Hmm.
That's a big part
of
it.
How do they compete? Let's give me an example. I hear forensics, I think of Quincy, the coroner.
I don't know
why that's associated with
that. Sure, he's a problem solver, right?
Okay.
And that's what we love about him. They have different competitions where they have specific problems, sort of like in robotics, you know, where you've probably seen the robotics championships and challenges.
Sure. I've had a couple teams on my show.
Yeah. And they have specific problems they have to solve.
Okay.
It's the same thing with forensics. So they have specific problems to solve, and they go in and work through logically to a conclusion to either get there the fastest or to produce the best result.
Okay, so they're practicing deduction, given this evidence, these clues.
Lots of little Sherlock Holmes.
How do you do you figure out what the answer is?
Yeah, and again, that's what we do. We're all sort of detectives in our jobs.
All right. So you're creating teams, and not everybody in the school is going to be on these teams. Special interest groups that
absolutely
maybe the best kids or the kids that are best at that or have a special interest in that.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the kids? Are they is you said logic is important really to everybody, right?
Well, yeah. So I mean, of course, you can get that through pure programming, and so we've built programs to teach software development, database skills, and then just algebraic problem solving. So when I said earlier that problem solving isn't algebraic, it is sort of in that you have multivariable problems that you have to solve. So, and we see this in testing. So in our testing plans in the state of Virginia, the mathematics scores have been going down precipitously, not so much because the teachers aren't teaching, but the tests are getting harder, and they're becoming more algebraic and more algebraic at lower levels. And we've been pushing that in the state government to essentially force them to make the tests more difficult.
Interesting.
Which, you know, may seem counterintuitive. We want the grades to go down because we want them to be harder.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's So you're working at the state level. How does that get pushed down? Are you mandating courses for local schools, or are you just suggesting, or what's your
goal? So we build a legislative agenda every year, and we meet with our state senator and our representatives in what we call our House of Delegates in Virginia, and we take that legislative agenda to them and to others we know that are interested in reforming public education, and get them to sponsor bills to either force the Department of Education to stop doing something. Right, so we have right now we have about 36 standards of learning tests, they're called, and we'd like to see that number cut in half, and have those tests made harder.
Oh, okay. So kids are spending too much time testing.
And you know they just need to have, you know, if they're going to be achievement tests, which is the way they're built. Thank you. If they're going to be achievement tests, then we would rather see them be more end of course, end of the cycle. It's sort of like, think of it this way, when you learn to drive, in most states, you have an achievement test that you take at the end, right? You go and make sure that you know the laws. You may have a driving course that's short to show them that you've achieved that. Mm. But in most states, you have to spend 20, 30, 40, 50 hours with a parent or guardian in the car and going through, and that's a growth test.
Right.
Right, so we'd like to see more growth testing and less achievement testing.
Oh, growth meaning more practical, hands-on.
Yeah, well, to measure your growth day by day to make sure you're doing the right things.
Okay. Yeah. What age are we talking about here? Is there an age that's too young to teach these skills, logic and programming?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the real issue is just the material that you're trying to teach. We start all the way down in kindergarten with making sure that one, literacy is a big issue, because if you aren't able to sort of read and write by the time you hit third grade, the chances are very good that these other things that we'd like to convey, you're just not going to be able to pick up when you get there.
Tell me if you agree with this, since you've been in education for a while now. When I was a kid, when I started kindergarten, I remember very well, my parents taught me to read before kindergarten. I was one of the few kids that knew how to read entering kindergarten. Mm-hmm. When my kids went into kindergarten, which is about 20 years ago, almost all the kids could read. Mm. Literacy seemed higher in preschool. Is that true across the nation, or did it just happen to hit a smart school?
Well, I think it does vary a lot by region. It does tend to be that in what you might call more affluent areas, more of the kids are able to read by the time they reach kindergarten.
That is a trend. Okay. They went to school in northern Kentucky, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to school in the Washington, D.C. area.
So I had the first African-American governor in the U.S., Doug Wilder, is from Richmond. I ran into him and had lunch with him a while back, and I just asked if I could sit with him at lunch. Uh-huh. And the one question I asked was, how did you become successful? And he said, well, and what made you different from the other kids that you grew up with? Because he grew up in a very poor part of the city.
Okay.
And he said, well, you know, his siblings are all extremely successful, and he became the first African-American governor and the mayor of Richmond, and just a very successful person. Mm-hmm. He said, well, what made the difference was our parents came home every night, and no matter what happened, they read to us for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he said the kids up and down the street didn't have that benefit.
Yeah.
And so he became successful along with his siblings, and the others did not.
Reading does open up a lot of other doors.
Absolutely.
So what kind of progress have you made, or your team made, in your home state? Can you point to something tangible that's better now than it was a couple of years ago when you started?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, we started what's called a one-to-one initiative. So we're a pretty rural county. There's lots of parts of the county that don't have high-speed internet service or sort of always-on, always-connected, we used to call it, internet service. And so we recognized that, and we built this one-to-one initiative that allowed us to get grants to give iPads to all of the kids in grades as they move through. So we started with fifth graders. We've taken that cadre and then moved back a year and forward a year, so we're expanding it out. And kids can put all of their homework assignments, all of the material, all of the video on these devices and take them home. They don't need an internet connection.
Okay.
And they can do all of their work and bring it back in. So we've actually developed, we worked to develop all of the technology that they can take it with them. Mm-hmm. It's sort of encapsulated and then they don't have to have a connection to do that.
They don't have to lug that giant backpack home with them.
That's true. We're replacing a lot of textbooks as well. Yeah, with
And what's left? What's on your agenda that you want to get to but you haven't yet?
Well, I think that the next thing is just really infusing what I call kinesthetic learning, you know, hands-on learning,
okay,
into the process more.
Kinesthetic,
right? I just
learned a new word.
Kinetic aesthetics, right? So it's hands-on learning. So there's lots of stuff going on with, like the Microsoft Kinect sensors and being able to visualize and have sort of a 3D space for, you know, manipulating chemicals or physics and things like that in the classroom. Mm. In a physical and virtual way, in combination with, you know, our science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, so-called STEM programs, and just making sure that it's all cohesive and available, really from STEM to STERN, you might speak, from pre-K through 12th grade, that kids have that experience the whole way through, and they're comfortable with technology, no matter whether they're going into a technical field or not. You know, mm-hmm. They don't have to be a programmer to get a benefit from, you know, being able to take a molecule in 3D and sort of separate it by hand and put it back together and see how chemically how that works, for example.
All right. You mentioned that you met with African-American Governor Wilder, who his parents instilled education in him by reading to him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, minorities are vastly underrepresented in our industry.
Yes,
and women are as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anything specific that your team is working on to address that?
Well, I mean, of course, we have to be careful not to violate any laws, as it were. But I think the key thing is just to create a basis where every child has an opportunity to experience these programs.
Okay.
You know, when you get to college or you get into a career and you make your own choices, there seems to be some predilection not selecting. For women not entering the field and for African American and other minorities not entering the field, but in our schools, we have a grand opportunity to make sure everyone gets exposed and they all have that capability and experience. So that's what we're doing. We're
so
just
you're
trying
not
to
calling
make sure
that out specifically. You're just making sure these programs are available to everybody.
Make sure they're available to everybody seems to be the fairest way to do it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Is there anything we haven't talked about that we should have?
No, this has been great. I really appreciate it.
Kevin, thanks a lot.
Thanks. To all my friends in public schools everywhere, may technology serve you well.